A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mesut Özil, el envío al área, el remate, y ahí está el primer tanto del partido. No lo celebra, por supuesto, Aaron Ramsey. 0-1 para el Arsenal.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there and welcome to another Arscast Extra on the dawn of a new season, brought to you today by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/Arscast. Do that now. Hello, James.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's nearly here, the new season. It's remarkable.
It's upon us. Mm. Yeah, extraordinary. The World Cup bridged the gap, didn't it? So yeah. It seems to have come around particularly quickly this time. Even pre-season's felt like something of a hurry, hasn't it? It's only been a few games, and suddenly we're looking at proper fixtures with points on the line.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, what can you do but just get on with it?
Well, indeed. Let's do that. Did you enjoy the Community Shield?
I did enjoy the Community Shield. I was sort of preparing myself in a way for a game that perhaps didn't go our way, at which point I could say, well, look, it's just the Community Shield, and it's about fitness, it's about getting your preparation right, and, okay, look, we've done this, and so we can see what we need to do, etc., etc. But it was very, very pleasant indeed to give them pretty much a spanking, you'd have to say. I think if it had been 3-0 to Manchester City, they'd have been talking up the spankingness of that result. But it's great to read in the papers this morning and across the press the very positive view of Arsenal and the way we played and what we've done so far this summer.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really encouraging performance. It's only been a week, but it seemed well ahead of the performance that we put in the Emirates Cup, actually, in the second game.
Yeah.
A lot of those players seemed a lot sharper, a lot more ready. And there was a real excitement seeing, all those counter-attacks with Alexis Sanchez in the first half, bombing down the right. Aaron Ramsey playing almost as well as he did for much of last season. I just think it was wonderful to see. And also, I know it's not a proper competition, but it is great to get those scenes after the game where, they get to lift something and have a laugh and, enjoy the day. I do think that it's just added to a sense of optimism around the club that's been building since the FA Cup final, and which hopefully we can carry into next season.
Yeah, completely agree. And it was very encouraging in the impact that Alexis had on the game, even though he only played 45 minutes and he's still clearly away from being fully fit. But you could see that moment towards the end of the first half where he just burst from deep, City pushed up, and all of a sudden he's in behind. And you got to think, when he's a bit sharper, perhaps he'd have got to that ball first. And, it's exciting to have that option, because it's something that obviously Theo Walcott gives us when he's fit, but he hasn't been fit, and Serge Gnabry as well. But, he's still a very young player, and I don't think you can count on him to do that on a regular basis at this point in his career. But just that, there was a buzz, wasn't there? Every time he got the ball, there was just an expectation. He didn't do a great deal with it for the most part, but just the fact that he was there and running at defences, and you could see him, there were a couple of times where he saw the pass but didn't quite make it, and I think that will come with a bit more match sharpness.
Yeah, I mean, some of his decision making, some of his final ball wasn't quite right, and if you believe certain people who watched him at Barcelona, that can be an element of his game. But I do think that it was very encouraging, and on that right-hand side, he looked very comfortable. I think he'll start the season there. In the long run, he may end up playing through the middle, but at the moment, he gives us a tremendous outlet on that flank. So, yeah, I think it's hugely promising. And you know, other players did well. I mean, Callum Chambers is one who I was really impressed by at centre-back, actually, to the point where I'm a little bit worried it'll sort of keep Arsenal's chequebook more closed than it needs to be.
I think perhaps the potential injury to Koscielny and Mertesacker's lack of fitness means that he's really got to buy a centre-half, but we can probably address that a bit later on. But he was impressive-looking, wasn't he, Chambers, for a 19-year-old who's played most of his career, his very, very short career at right-back, and he just slotted in there and did very well. What did you make of Debuchy? I liked him, I have to say, but I think he's got to get used to the way that Arsenal play. In the sense that when he didn't have an option in front of him, his first thought was, well, I'm going to just put it up there anyway, which is a bit Newcastle-y. Whereas if he's got Mertesacker behind him, he's always going to have that option. He needs to go backwards. I remember looking at the stats where we're sort of looking at Sanya and Debuchy and their various qualities. And I think it's on Squawka where you can look at all the various passes that they made, and let's say Debuchy made in the entire season 270 backwards passes. Sanya made something like 900, or, you know, the difference was vast. So maybe that's something he's got to be working on, but impressive and encouraging as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's adapting to a different style of football, and Arsenal play a very possession-led game, and the back four are happy shifting it across the pitch, aren't they, until they can find Arteta in the middle and start the moves off, or maybe even get it down the flank. Debuchy will learn that, but I thought he was very good, actually. I thought he was sort of tigerish in the challenge, ambitious going forward, put in a couple of excellent crosses. I think he's going to slot straight in, and that's, you know, really what we need, because at the moment we're going into the season with a what you'd have to describe as an unsettled back four, an unfamiliar back four. So we need people who can adapt and deal with it quickly. We could start the season with Chambers and Monreal at the back, which is far from ideal in terms of central defensive positions. So we need people like Debuchy and Gibbs, who I thought was excellent as well, to be at the very top of their game.
Yeah, Gibbs is just doing it, isn't he? He's no fuss, no real hype or anything about him, but he's just improving steadily over the last 18 months into a very, very solid left back, which is good to see. Is the central defensive thing the only cloud on the horizon, given how well things have gone this summer and how positive everything appears to be? The Community Shield, people are taking a lot of positives from it, and rightly so. But as you just mentioned, Chambers and Monreal could be the central defensive partnership if Koscielny doesn't get fit, or the manager decides that he can't risk Mertesacker that quickly. Some people have wondered why, in that case, we sold Thomas Vermaelen that quickly. But from what Barcelona have said today, Vermaelen's injured for quite a while with the hamstring problem. So he would not have been able to play anyway. So the timing of the sale, from our point of view, is irrelevant. But it does seem like that's the area that we're short in, and it is a rather crucial area.
Yeah, it is indeed. And, you know, Vermaelen, I wondered the same thing. Why are we letting him go? But if he's not fit, he's not available for selection, it doesn't really make that much difference. Monreal, to be honest, at times has struggled to convince me as a fullback, and as a centre-back, I definitely have my concerns. I think it is something that needs addressing, but I don't know how quickly these things can happen. I'm not sure it'll get addressed before next Saturday.
Well, remember when all of a sudden we needed a left back really, really
quickly?
Well,
and we brought Monreal in very quickly.
We brought Monreal like that, you know. So I think it can happen quickly if the target is there and is available. And we're prepared to do it. I do think there's a measure of urgency about the situation, to be honest, because August is a very busy month. You never know what might happen in a game, whether someone picks up a knock. And we are, if Koscielny misses the game on Saturday against Palace, we're like a training ground kick to Monreal or Chambers away from having no central defenders at all. So that's, it is the worst case scenario outlook, isn't it? But I think you've got to be prepared for those eventualities.
What do you think of, there's a few stories this morning about Liverpool's Daniel Agger. Is that one that you think could be possible?
I don't know what I don't know if we've got any interest, but it does strike me as, yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a carbon copy of Vermaelen in a way, isn't he? So from that point of view, yeah, I mean, he would fit the profile of somebody who could come in and do a job straight away. It all depends what kind of centre half the manager wants to bring in. Does he want to bring in somebody to understudy or to sit behind Mertesacker and Koscielny or to challenge them? I do think after what's happened in the Community Shield and in pre-season, I think Chambers is certainly going to be a central defender or a central defensive option this season. I think the manager seems quite happy to use him there. So I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it?
Do you worry that after the Community Shield, I think Arsene was talking about Chambers and what it does to his kind of transfer priorities. And I felt there was a bit of an implication that he sees Chambers as potentially as third choice, and he might be looking to bring in someone behind that. Does that worry you at all, or do you think he's ready to fill that kind of role in the squad?
It's really difficult to say because we haven't seen enough of him. I mean, it was really encouraging what we've seen so far. But then we've seen other young players who have, I won't say burst onto the scene, but who in their early games have looked very promising at centre half and in the end haven't quite fulfilled that potential. So I think it's very difficult to make any kind of judgment about a player based on two performances or two and a half performances in friendlies. So I can't really put my neck on the line in that regard. It does seem, I agree with you, that from what Arsene is saying or what he said after the Community Shield, that, yeah, that's something that he's certainly considering. But I do think overall we lack depth at centre half, and that's a worry for me and has been, you know, for most of the summer, because we knew Vermaelen was going to go. So, I do think as well, when you look at the fact that the stories come out that they were trying to do a swap deal with United that maybe would have included Smalling, that they're aware that this gap exists. So you'd hope that they've moved on to other targets.
Let's hope so. I mean, the difference with that Monreal situation is, you know, we didn't know we were going to pick up the injuries we did, and we swooped from quickly. With Vermaelen, we should have been able to plan for this eventuality for quite some time. So let's hope they have identified targets. It was interesting to hear the manager saying he might be looking at a player who can play in two or three positions, potentially. So someone who could provide cover in another part of the pitch.
What do you think that means? I mean, somebody who can play at fullback or somebody who can also play in midfield?
I think midfield, because I feel like we're pretty covered at fullback, if I'm honest. You know, you've got Gibbs and Monreal on the left-hand side, and then on the right, you've got Debussy, Chambers, Bellerin still in the squad for now. So, you know, I do wonder if maybe he's looking at that holding midfield area again, someone who could maybe double up in that respect. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah. That was my thought, that he wanted somebody who could play in midfield and also at centre half, rather than somebody who would be an auxiliary fullback, because, like you say, we've got options there, and Chambers is an option for the right fullback position as well. So yeah, but who that player is, or where we're going to find him, or how much we got to pay for him, yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, the thing is, we're very well stocked with midfielders, so it's possible that if you could find a player who's played predominantly as a holding midfielder but then was required to step back in central defence when necessary, we've got plenty of other midfielders who could come into that breach. So I do wonder if that's a possibility. Someone in the Javi Martinez mould would solve a lot of problems, I think.
Right.
But, you know, these players come at a significant price.
Yeah, so not easy to find, because both positions, people, you know, we've had that thing, well, why did we never play Vermaelen as a defensive midfielder? It's because he's not a midfield player. I mean, it's a very specialist position, midfield, same as centre half. So, you know, the players who can fill both roles aren't exactly ten a penny.
Few and far between.
Yeah, all right. Final little thing for this part of the show. The manager announced that Mikel Arteta would be the captain for this season, with Per Mertesacker as his vice captain. Any surprise to you, or what do you make of that?
Well, I had seen it coming for a couple of weeks. There have been a few comments from Arsene saying Arteta would be the next in line, And he obviously feels he doesn't want to rock the boat. I am a little bit surprised. My choice still would have been Per Mertesacker. However, depending, I think, what happens in the transfer market, I think Mertesacker might well end up wearing the armband for quite a lot of the season anyway. If a holding midfielder does come in, it seems that it's Arteta's place in the team that's most at risk. So I don't think it does any harm him being the captain. He's a very well-liked, very well-respected member of the squad. I think Mertesacker would have been a more long-term choice and probably would still will be the long-term captain. But in this season, I imagine them kind of sharing responsibilities. I mean, would you have given it to Per as well?
I mean, I would have thought, yeah, certainly, because I just like the way he behaves and the way he leads. But I think it's a natural progression because Arteta was the captain, wasn't he, for the most part last season, because Vermaelen was on the bench. Arteta captained the side for pretty much 90% of the games. So I can see why he did that. And I'm also with the manager to a certain extent. I think perhaps there's too much emphasis put on who is the captain. The ceremonial aspect of it rather than the practical aspect of it. And, you know, what you're looking for in your players is our leaders, not just because you're wearing an armband. And I think we've got those players in the team now. And I think Arteta is, what's the way I would describe it? Somebody around whom the rest of the players probably, I won't say revolve, but, you know, he just seems the natural choice because he's about the oldest player there. You know, he's got great experience, really big influence off the pitch as well. Apparently in the dressing room, a great guy, helping people settle in. I think we told the story, or was it you told the story about Alexis when he came? Arteta was like, straight over, anything you need, we'll sort it out. So I don't see it as an issue, even if we buy another player to play in Arteta's role, that having somebody of his experience and leadership is a good thing and a good example for the younger players.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, congratulations to him. He's worked very hard. I feel like it might be his last year at Arsenal, you know, and I think it's a fitting reward for the commitment he's shown to the cause over the last few years. And I don't think that's ever been in question for a second. So I think it'll do a good job. And also, I have to say, I still think he's got a good part to play in the squad. We talked last week about if we sign a midfielder, would we let him or Flamini go? And I think, I can't remember, but I think we might have both gone for Flamini. I think Arteta's still got a lot to offer. So, yeah, I hope he has a good season.
All right. Well, those are the issues of the week thus far. What we're going to do now is take a short break. We'll be back with some of the questions that you've sent in. Welcome back to the Arsecast Extra, brought to you this week by Audible.com. To get yourself a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial, go to audibletrial.com/Arsecast. That's audibletrial.com/Arsecast. Sign up, you get your free audiobook and a 30-day free trial, which you can cancel at any moment, and every sign up does help us, so thanks indeed. Right, time for some questions that you kind listeners have sent in. To Twitter, at Gunnerblog and at Arseblog. And this one, first one, comes from at Rich P. Walsh. And he says, on a scale of Merson to Wright, now I don't know if that's Ian Wright or Richard Wright.
Okay.
You can be the judge.
Okay.
On a scale of Merson to Wright, how optimistic are you for the new season?
How interesting. What an interesting sort of axis he's applied to that.
Yeah.
Is Merson's is one of those, is Merson not a very optimistic figure? Is that what I'm to infer from that? And Ian Wright is?
Oh, maybe.
How would you interpreted it?
I had just sort of thought that they were two Arsenal names. Maybe.
Right. I've overthought it.
Yeah. But maybe you could be right, because Merson does come across as a little bit, you know,
Morose
is a great word, and Ian Wright obviously is quite excitable,
ebullient. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I would say for next season I am optimistic. I don't know if I'd say I'm full Ian Wright, but I'm certainly kind of Yaya Snow-go-y, like, you know, Yaya Snogo post the FA Cup final, that kind of dancing in the changing room. It's excited, but it's sort of contained. It's got the self-assurance of a man who knows he's got moves. That's me at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. I am really excited about the new season. I think that we've got, you know, we're in tremendous shape. Even if the, you know, we get this one more, if we get this one more centre back, you know, I'd like holding midfield as well. But even if that doesn't happen, I think we're in good shape. And I think the mentality of the squad will be so improved by that FA Cup final win. So yeah, apparently I'm Sonogo, but I mean, I know that doesn't fit into the sort of mid-90s, you know, criteria that I was given to choose from there. But I can broaden that, can't I?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, do I have to then respond in kind by being an Arsenal player?
I think so.
Maybe, just because of the FA Cup and the, I won't say the hangover from that and winning yesterday, I could actually be as optimistic or as excited as Paul Merson when he did his famous downing the pints gesture. Like,
right. You know, really? You know, yeah. I'd say that's quite excited.
That's quite excited. Because, you know, I don't have the natural rhythm of a Sonogo, where you, obviously, as a performer...
We can't all...
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't all be so that. Blessed.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that's quite excited. Fair enough. So we're both quite looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I think at this juncture as well, we should give ourselves a little pat on the back. We made it through the summer. Podcast survived.
Yeah.
We talked about enough rubbish to cover up all the no Arsenal football.
I think, you know, God bless the World Cup as well, though. That did help.
Yeah, that was something of a cheat that enabled us to sneak through.
Yeah.
So we're both up for it, basically, is what we've gathered from that.
Yeah.
Okay, this question comes from So Steady. That's a great name, isn't it?
Mm.
His real name is Uchichukwu Ozo, but So Steady.
Well, that's easier.
Yeah, it's an obvious nickname, I guess. He asks, and we were talking a little bit about this before, but anyway, he says, does giving Arteta the captain's armband quash any chance of signing a defensive midfielder this season? And I must say, loads of other people asked that question as well.
Yeah, about 500 people asked that question. So it's obviously something that's captivating the minds of the masses.
Mm.
I think, as we just talked about before, that if the manager is looking for that versatile player who can also play center half and play in midfield, then no, I don't think it necessarily quashes that at all. Whether it's the high profile specialist that everyone wants, I'm not sure. But then I don't think we've ever been convinced he's going to get that player.
No.
You know, we spoke about it a number of times over the last few months and towards the end of last season, that if you look at the players we've been linked with, Khedira, for example, who's not that player. He's a box-to-box midfielder, as Arsene Wenger called him. We don't seem to be linked with too many of them, do we? There's the Carvalho thing, but beyond that, you know, there's not a great deal of smoke around this one. So, no, I don't think it necessarily makes any difference to it, but whether or not we're going to sign anybody in the first place, that's the bigger question for me.
Yeah, I think in the spring we both said that we didn't think Wenger would bring in a central midfielder. I think over the summer, I know certainly my opinion has fluctuated based on the strength of the stories about the likes of Khedira. But looking at it at the start of the transfer window...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I wasn't convinced it was a massive priority for the manager. I still think he might think he's got one more year to get out of Arteta and Flamini, and it wouldn't blow my mind at all if that's what happened. However, on the other side of the coin, I do think Arteta being named captain does not mean his place in the team is sacrosanct. And you need to only look at the previous captain, Thomas Vermaelen, who lost his place on the team and sat on the bench for a season, to know that Arsene Wenger is not averse to leaving out a captain if he thinks it's the best thing for the collective.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, that answers that.
Yeah, dealt with.
Yeah. Okay, here's one. This comes from at Red of Purple. His name is Andy Stewart. And he says, what is the likelihood of one of Podolski or Campbell leaving this summer? Are we top-heavy in attack?
Another popular question, that, wasn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of that around as well. I think I do have a little hunch that Podolski might be moved on. I don't really know why. I haven't got any substance to that, just to allay any fears that might be sparked by me saying that. I don't have any insider information that makes me believe that. I don't know. Just a hunch. I mean, you know, last season at times we thought he might be on the way out, and I find it hard to see there being room for Campbell and Podolski in the squad, and looking at their respective salaries, you know, there's one who it kind of might make more sense to keep around on the bench, even though I believe Podolski is a superior player still at this time. So it wouldn't hugely surprise me if he was on his way in the next few weeks. I hope not, because I think he's got a lot to offer still. I think he's a fantastic finisher. We were saying last week, there's no one you'd rather see a chance fall to in the box. Incredibly efficient in the final third. But I do think that Wenger just doesn't quite know how to fit him into the side, and that could see him depart. What do you reckon?
I would have thought Campbell is a more likely departure than Podolski.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what Podolski has produced, and the willingness that he probably has to play a role which is a little bit diminished. You know, with the arrival of Alexis and Walcott back fit, and Giroud and Sonogo and Cazorla, and, you know, he'll get plenty of games. But I think he'd be more content. I thought it was really odd yesterday that Campbell only got 5 minutes towards the end and didn't look that interested when he came on the pitch as well. So I do maybe wonder, I could be putting two and two together and making five, if perhaps a conversation has been had with him already about where his future might lie. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult when you look at all those options to see how everyone is going to be happy. But the problem we've had down the years is lack of depth, isn't it? So that's one for the manager. I mean, like you, I wouldn't be surprised to see one or the other of them go, whether that's permanently or on loan. But just hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we are top heavy? Do you think we've got more than we need in those positions?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, as a fan, you sort of feel like you can't really have enough. Do you know what I mean? You just want as much strength and depth as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you do look at it from a sheer numbers point of view, maybe there is a case to be made for letting somebody go, because, you know, somebody ultimately is not going to be happy. The forwards listed on Arsenal.com at the moment are Podolski, Giroud, Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sanchez, Yaya Sanogo, Serge Gnabry, Joel Campbell, Rio Miachi. So we can pretty much rule out Miachi, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he'll go, provided he's not so broken. Gnabry, I think, is going to go on loan somewhere, but he's been carrying an injury for most of the summer, I believe, towards the end of last season as well. So, and it's been strangely quiet about his injury. Oxlade-Chamberlain, well, you know, he can play in the front three, but the manager keeps talking about him as a central midfielder. So that leaves you with Podolski, Giroud, Walcott, Alexis, and Sonogo, and then Campbell. So that's six forwards for three positions. you know, you could see how everyone would get the game time, but I don't know. The manager might prefer a more efficient squad.
I mean, Podolski's 29 now. It's possible that, you know, over the next year or two, he might be more accepting of a role where he doesn't play every week. You know, he's moving into his 30s. You know, it's unlikely that he's going to get that at a top club. So maybe he'll, you know, settle more into being more of a squad player. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. I certainly think Campbell and Podolski have certain similarities in the style of play and the positions where they function best. So I do feel like if someone's going to go, it's likely to be one of those two.
Campbell as well can operate from the right, though, which Podolski can't.
Yeah, that gives him an extra kind of added versatility. I mean, to be fair as well, Campbell, you know, we've seen Campbell in the World Cup playing through the middle with mixed degree of success, but I'd say he looks more suited to it than Podolski has done in the Premier League as well, which might count in his favour. The other thing that I think that might count in his favour is just his youth, you know, in terms of sort of, if there's a time to cash in on Podolski, it's now. He's not going to get any more valuable, I shouldn't think.
Yeah.
So that might play into the manager's thinking. He is quite keen on, you know, raking in any residual value where he can.
So basically, we don't have a fucking clue.
I think that's what
that comes down to.
Yeah, but one might go, I think. That's all I could say with any confidence.
All right, next question.
More expert opinion on next week's Arcus Extra. This is asked from Teebs21, and, you know, we saw Bakary Sagna at the weekend, sat alone in the Manchester City box, looking a bit sad.
He asked, didn't he? He was just sitting there, like, looking on, going, oh, what have I done? What
Billy
have
no
I done?
Mates.
Yeah.
He asks, something I've been pondering, do you think Sagna and Cesc will be... That's who's, you might have forgotten who Cesc is. He might have blocked it out, but he used to play for us.
Cesc. Spanish guy?
Yeah, a little Spanish guy.
Yeah, I think I remember him.
Do you think they'll be booed or cheered by the Arsenal fans when we meet City and Chelsea in the league? I'd say cheered is definitely unlikely.
I can't imagine they'd be cheered. No. I think there's always an element, isn't there, that of people who, the minute a player leaves a club, he's an absolute cunt and the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
I suspect that Sanya's welcome will be more warm than Cesc's, simply because Sanya got to the end of his contract, always gave 100%, and left, you know, at an age where it's much easier to see a player go, right? He's in his early 30s. And Cesc, as we know, left the club under a little bit of a cloud. Went to Barcelona, which I don't think people really could blame him for at that time, given they're the best team in Europe and we were, frankly, a shambles.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the fact that he's joined Chelsea, you know, is horrible. You know, I've seen pictures of him. He scored a great goal yesterday for Chelsea, which I saw sort of by accident. I was looking at it and then going, oh, this is horrible. I mean, looking at Cesc in a Chelsea shirt, I don't know. It's like looking at an elephant dressed in a tutu or something. It just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? it doesn't suit him. The blue is horrible. But it's a reminder that for players, football, for the most part, is a job. They'll do their job pretty much anywhere. But I also wonder if it's something that we have to get used to a bit more, because if you look, it always struck me looking at Italian football way back when it first started on Channel 4, that it was not at all unusual for players to go between the big clubs, between AC and Inter Milan to Juventus. You know, these players would just, you know, swap around.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed people were a lot more accepting of that. Whereas in England, it was not really heard of for players to go between the big clubs. And that seems to be changing a little bit now. So to answer the question, I think anyone that boos Sagna is a bit of a cock, really. And he shouldn't be booed. I think there will probably be a few that will, but I think for the most part, people will be appreciative of what he's done. And I think Cesc is going to get a hard time.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'd go for that as well. I think Sanya will get the kind of Colo Torre warm welcome, whereas Cesc will be more, not quite at the Van Persie Adebayor end of the spectrum, but heading that way, I would say.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Okay. Here's one from Andy Notici. I think that's how you say it. It's at Notici. And he says, okay. It's quite a succinct question. It goes like this. Palace, Saturday, Sonogo or Giroud?
Wow, okay.
A man of efficient words.
I like him. I like his style. I like the cut of his jib. He doesn't mess around, does he?
No.
He's like, you know, I've got 140 characters and I'm going to use them wisely.
Absolutely.
Well, we've used about half of them, it turns out, sparingly. I don't know. Let me think. I mean, Giroud scored a terrific goal, didn't he, at the weekend? Superb.
Yeah.
Sonogo did that thing he does at Wembley, you know, where he just crashes around quite a lot. He was involved in the Ramsey goal, though. Did all right there, I thought. Held the ball up well enough. Although I think Ramsey deserves most of the credit for that little turn, which was absolutely brilliant. Loved that.
Oh, that was nice, wasn't it? The way he just kind of scooped the ball up and turned around.
Looks very simple, but like that was magic. That was a great little move.
Yeah.
I think you've got to go Giroud. I think if he's ready, if he's physically ready, I think you've got to go with Giroud. I mean, the manager and the staff will know a lot more than me about his sort of physical aptitude, if he's fit to take on the task. But if he is, I still think he's by far the top centre forward at the club, unless you're counting Sanchez as a possibility in that area. And this is the Premier League now. This is the big stuff. This is what counts. There's points on the line. And I would be going for him. What about yourself?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But, you know, Giroud came on against Man City and scored a really brilliant goal. But apart from that, I don't really remember him doing anything else. Whereas Sonogo was always involved. I think that maybe had a bit to do with the way we played in the first half as opposed to the second. We were a bit more on top of things and a bit more lively, and there was a bit more energy, obviously. I think you're right in the sense that if you're looking, if they were both equally fit, then it would be Giroud because he's got the goal-scoring record. So I think it comes down to that. If you ask me who would I fancy to score more, it would be Giroud. So if he's fit enough to start, then yeah, stick him on, and we've always got Sonogo as an option from the bench if need be.
Cool. One more? Got time for one more?
Yeah.
All right, let's go for one more. This is the big one, okay? This is the one that everyone's been waiting for. This is from Tom Bigsy, 97. And he asks, would you rather have arms made of chocolate or legs made of cheese?
That's actually quite difficult.
Explain to me your thought process. What's troubling you here?
Well, you would have to stay pretty cold. If you had arms made of chocolate, you wouldn't be able to go on a sunshine holiday, for example, because your arms would melt.
Cheese melts too.
Yeah, but not if you used a hard cheese like Parmesan or Pecorino or something like that. We're not talking like Dairy Lee triangle cheese here.
I see. You found a loophole.
I have. Now, would your arms be solid chocolate or would it be like Easter egg chocolate, you know, just a shell?
No, it's solid, it's not hollow.
Right, so it would take some time to melt.
It would, yeah.
Yeah. I think I would have to go with the legs made of cheese, simply because it would be more versatile. You know, you'd be able to go to different places and you know, move around. You wouldn't necessarily be able to. Would they be fully functioning legs? I mean, could you walk on them?
You can walk on them, yeah.
Right.
I'm filling a lot of this in my head, but yes, you can walk on them. It's more just the inconvenience or convenience, depending on how you look at it, the fact that they are made of cheese.
Would they be leg-shaped or would they be cheese-shaped? Like a triangle of Parmesan? Would it be just like loads of triangles of Parmesan scrunched together, or would they be... Yeah, it's difficult.
I think they'd be leg-shaped. They'd look like someone had fashioned a leg out of cheese. So, you know, they would retain their cheesiness, but they would function as a limb.
Yeah, I think I go with cheese legs because, you know, chocolate arms, you'd just be sitting there licking your arms from time to time because you'd just be so delicious.
I don't know if it regenerates. That's one thing I haven't decided. Like, can you eat it and then replenish it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ironically, Robin Van Persie had a chocolate leg, didn't he?
He did.
We don't know if he had cheese arms. He never mentioned it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He'd have been a much more likable character if he had cheese arms.
I think so, yeah.
What would you do? So. What would your...
Maybe that's why Andrés Santos was so friendly with him.
Ah.
He put his arm around him because he thought, oh, I'm just going to have a little snack on his arm.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows something we don't.
I'm going to nibble on your chocolate leg.
Exactly. What would I do? I would go for... I've actually forgotten what the little choice was. Arms made of chocolate or legs made of cheese.
Yeah.
I think arms made of chocolate. I think I worry that the legs made of cheese would be unstable. And do you know what I mean? I just feel like they'd be hazardous. What if, you know, I imagine that dogs would try and... Do dogs like cheese?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Do they actually?
Yeah, my dog loves cheese. Yeah.
Well, loves I feel cheese. Like that. They would just be going after me all the time and, you know, it would incur problems.
But arms your legs are already made of meat and bones and dogs love that. They don't come near you.
Mine look quite a lot like they're made of cheese, to be honest. But I think a little insider info for you all. That's true. The dogs don't come near me now, but that's because I have appalling personal hygiene.
Well,
that's my strategy.
I don't know what to say to that?
Yeah.
right, I've got one more.
Okay.
And this comes from Rupert Tutman.
Tottenham-y,
but it's not.
Let's see if he can redeem himself with his question.
Right. He asks, if you were kidnapped by John Terry...
It's a good start.
Yeah. And you had to choose an A team, like the A team, of four Arsenal players to save you, who would they be?
Brilliant. Great question.
Tis right up there.
Your name could be Spurs, Tottenham, Spurs, and that would still be a good question. I've got to have Flamini in there as okay. the wild man. Do they have to sort of match up with the actual A team?
Yeah, I think you've got to have a Murdoch, you've got to have a B.A. Baracus, you've got to have a Face.
Okay. My B.A. Baracus... who would that be? Do you know what? It might be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Because the size of that guy, I'm telling you, he spends a lot of time in the gym, the Ox.
Yeah.
And he's looking pretty tasty. I mean, is that a good word to use? As tasty as a man with chocolate arms and cheese legs. he'd probably be in there for me. Who's the mad one who flies the helicopter?
Murdoch.
Yeah, Flamini. That's Flamini for me.
So you've got... Okay, so BA is the Ox. Murdoch is Flamini.
So who else
face,
is in the
80? You need like the handsome, debonair,
Arteta.
The charming
Arteta.
One.
Arteta. Yeah. The hair.
Right.
Perfect.
And then you need Hannibal. Wasn't that the guy?
What's he like? What's his deal? What's his vibe? I can't remember.
He was the old guy with the... You know, he was... The de facto leader of the A team.
Oh, yeah. Well, can I have... Has it got to be a player? Can't have Arsene.
I suppose he could.
Could he play in that role,
I just have to see... does he specify players here? I have to just check it out.
Okay. Yeah, we wouldn't want to get this wrong.
He specifies players, not staff.
He's thought this through, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's Borough Primorac out. Okay. I need one more. Hannibal. Mertesacker, I think.
Mertesacker.
He's got that kind of you know, that natural authority.
Mm.
So what's my A-team?
Your A-team is Flamini.
Hang on, I'll do it. Right, you've got?
Flamini, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Arteta and Mertesacker.
I mean, they're busting me out of there, aren't they?
I think so. You'd have some faith in that one, wouldn't you?
I'd be pretty happy with that. Would you mix it up? Who have I missed? Who would you have gone for?
Yeah, it's... yeah. I have to have a think about that now. I should have been thinking about it while...
I mean, you had all the time that I was desperately vamping and trying to think of stuff.
Okay, here's my one. Murdoch, because you need the crazy one, right?
Yeah.
That's Chesney.
Okay.
Because he would definitely be a bit mad.
Yeah.
B.A. Baracus, because the big, strong one. Alexis, maybe? He is quite muscular, isn't he?
He is as well. He's another one of the more muscular lads in the dressing room.
I was thinking about Aaron Ramsey for the face character because, you know, he's got the looks.
I mean, it's out of control.
But maybe he just doesn't have quite the effusive personality. Like, you couldn't imagine Aaron Ramsey going in and charming somebody into giving them, like, secret plans or anything because he'd just be so nice.
No, he's quite a humble guy, isn't he? Quite down to earth, yeah.
So who could I get then?
Giroud?
Yeah, Giroud, yeah. He could be the handsome guy.
Yeah.
And maybe in French he's a lot more charming. Mm. So I just need a Hannibal. An older guy. Rositsky.
Good team.
Yeah. So those are our A teams. Flamini, nice. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Arteta, Mertesacker. And then Chesney, Rositsky, Alexis, and who did I say? Who did you say? Giroud. Yeah.
I mean, guys, that is a Photoshop opportunity waiting to happen, isn't it?
I'd have maybe a little bit more faith in your team.
Really?
To save me from John Terry.
Well, it's an important job.
Yeah. But they could go in with absolute, what's the word? You know, they'd be allowed to shoot him and stuff.
Oh, yeah, all guns blazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
License to kill John Terry.
Kill John Terry. Yeah.
Multiple times. Should we knock this on the head?
Yes, let's. Because this time next week, we'll be sitting here discussing the very first Premier League game of the season and hopefully three nice points for Arsenal.
Can't believe it. It's come around so quick.
All right. The Arsecast regular returns this Friday. And I suppose I should actually start thinking about stuff and what to do on that one at this point.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to wash my hands of it at that point. Not involved.
All right. Well, look, we'll talk to you on next Monday's Arsecast Extra. So until then, take it easy.
Cheers. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.